If you would, go with me to Luke chapter number 1, the first book of Luke. I'm going to read a number of scriptures in Luke. Sometimes when I go to different places, I remind them that this is called a Bible. I don't have to do that here, but this is a physical Bible. You know, we have apps and we have phones and we have iPads and computers, and sometimes it's good to just open up your leather-bound Bible. Amen. And so, how many are grateful for the Word of God? How many have a real in-your-hands Bible this morning? You don't, oh, okay, praise God. I love it. I love it. And if you don't, we love you. Amen. I normally have my phone and iPad and tablet and all that and the above. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 11. And I believe we've got them on the screen for you as well. Actually, I want to start at verse number 5. I'm going to skip around here just a bit because I want to give you a little bit of context before I get into this word this morning. Spirit of God, we honor you today. We thank you for what you intend to say and do. We're grateful to be in the presence of the governor of the kingdom. We ask today that you would take these words and make them real to people, that you would open up the scriptures to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you are ever with us in every moment of need. Bless us today in your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Verse number 5, let's skip around a bit here. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and the Aaronical priesthood. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. I want you to skip down a bit with me to verse number 13. An angel shows up to Zacharias. The angel says to him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." Go down to verse number 19. Zacharias begins to doubt, and the angel answered and said, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own times." Sometimes if you can't speak faith, it's better just to be quiet. Amen. And this is what I want you to focus on. They shall be fulfilled in their own time. Verse number 26. And actually, verse number 24. "Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, he has dealt well with me in the days in which he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people.' Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man who was named Joseph of the house of David." You know what happens next. He begins to communicate these things. Go down to verse number 39. Verse number 39 says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Verse number 45, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." I want to minister for a few moments this morning. I'll try to honor the 40-minute clock in front of me. I'll do my best. I want to minister on the hour of fulfillment. I want you to tell 3 people you just entered the season of fulfillment. Tell them you just entered the season of fulfillment. Lord, I thank you that you will fulfill it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. It's amazing how many people live their lives dissatisfied, disgruntled, disappointed, disconcerted, at a place where they've just been dissed because of the frustrations that they've experienced as they've believed God in their life. But the beauty of God is just because you may be there, you may have experience there, you may even feel stuck there, the beauty of God is that you don't have to stay there, is that God has the ability to find me in my stuck and shift me to my place of acceleration and breakthrough. That's the nature of the God that we served. And so the beauty of God is that God will not leave you unfulfilled. God will not leave his word unfulfilled. God is too faithful to leave you somewhat filled, halfway filled, sometimes filled, partially filled. God will fully fill you. He'll leave you fulfilled. Somebody say fulfilled. I love the way that David said it. As David said that my cup runneth over. God is a finishing God, and God is a fulfilling God. Amen, somebody. God is not just author of your faith. God is finisher of your faith. What God has authored, he's already finished. He's just waiting for you to believe it, that it's already done. God is a finisher. God completes what he started. And so the beauty of that is if God completes what he started and I trust his character, anything good that God started in my life is already guaranteed to be done. Because God's not a quitter. God is a finisher. People might quit on you. Friends might quit on you. Family might quit on you. Jobs might tell you to quit on them. But God is not a quitter. God said, don't you get weary in well-doing, because trust me, if you will endure, I'm going to show up on your behalf and I'm going to finish my word for you. Can I help somebody this morning? Just tell somebody God's a finisher. Come on, God's a finisher. If he started your healing, he's going to finish your healing. If he started your miracle, he's going to finish your miracle. If he started your breakthrough, he's going to finish your breakthrough. If he started getting your mind right, he's going to finish getting your mind right. If he started turning your daughter around, he's going to finish. Somebody shout, God's a finisher. Come on, shout, God's a finisher. My God fulfills his promises. In the beginning, let's start right where it started. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You can be seated, but don't get settled. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Bible says that John had a revelation. That in John chapter number 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Pastor, that's why I love the Word of God. Because when you get in the Word of God, you get with the God of the Word. You can't afford to not be in the Word in this season. You can't afford to not study the Word, to not seek the Word, to not know the Word, to not understand the Word. I can't only rely on a man's interpretation of the Word. I need to meet the Holy Ghost for myself, open up my Bible, and learn what God is trying to say in my life. The beauty of this word is that you might be depressed in a pit, but if you got this word right here, he can give you a word in due season. God is always trying to speak to his people. So the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So John was saying that really it reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word created the heavens and the earth. Everything created was created by a word. Never lose the power of the creative force in the Word of God. Never forget the creative power inside of words. Words create feelings. Words create atmospheres. Words can shift atmospheres. That means if you have an atmosphere in your home that you're tired of experiencing, if you change your word, you can change your environment, because your word has the power of life inside of it. Your word has the power of death inside of it. If there are things living in your bloodline that shouldn't be there anymore, you can take the word, put it in your mouth, and watch it create a breakthrough in your family's bloodline. I'm standing in the gap for the kids, 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 and declaring that your grandchildren won't fight the same lust demons that their granddaddy did, because somebody stood up and spoke the word. Somebody shout, it's my fulfillment season. Come on, just say fulfillment. God's word is creative. That's why I listen when men of God speak the word. I listen when women of God speak the word of God, because I know the word of God has creative power. Means that what they're talking about might not be there when they start talking about it. But by the time God gets done saying it, what wasn't there before he started talking is suddenly there when he finished talking, because he's a creative God. God can create something out of nothing. Let me tell you four things about this. He can create something out of nothing. One, his word began to create. I've seen words heal marriages. I've seen words kill marriages. I've seen word heal children. I've seen words hurt children. Words are powerful. powerful. But you got to understand about God is that God not only speaks his word, God keeps his word. The Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It means that what he said, you eventually saw. If you read through the book of Genesis chapter number 1, you'll find out that it says God said and God saw, and God said and God saw, and God said and God saw, and God said and God saw. He's trying to show you an order that if God said it, God will eventually see it. And if God said it, you will eventually see it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Because if God took time to talk about it, then in time you'll be seeing it and experiencing it. But God, he doesn't speak just to engage you in emotional conversation. God speaks to establish your future. Words are seeds. You got to understand about me. We just met, so I'm just kind of warming up to it. But you got to understand, I talk fast because I believe that God is releasing revelation for all kinds of people. And I'm just trying to see the scroll and say what God needs somebody to hear up in this place. You got to understand that words are seeds. Words are the guarantee of tomorrow's outcome. Words are powerful. Seeds are powerful. The farmer understands that the only way to guarantee tomorrow's harvest is to sow today's seed. So seed is harvest broken down in sowable form. When I sow into the kingdom, I am actually sowing harvest. You just can't tell yet. Because seed is harvest broken down in sowable form. Because God doesn't work beginning to end. God works into beginning. He says, I am he who declared the end of a thing before the beginning of a thing. So God said, since your hand cannot hold your tomorrows today, I'm going to break your tomorrows down into a measure you can handle today. If you eat the seed, you ate tomorrow. If you sow the seed, you created tomorrow. The seed is the harvest in sowable form. So when God gives bread to the eater has to eat it. When God gives seed to the sower has to sow it. The sower is actually intentionally creating a future by the things they trust God with in the now. Somebody shout, I'm a sower. Hallelujah. So when you are speaking God's word, you might not see it 3 seconds after you say it, but you got to understand your word is going into the soil of the spirit realm, reoperating and reorganizing your tomorrows until eventually you show up and say, whoop, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Can I prophesy to 500? Can I just tell somebody in this building, you're about to walk into a season where what God said is staring you in the face. You're going to be looking at a doctor's report that says healed when it used to say terminal illness. You're going to be looking at a marriage that was on the verge of divorce, and all of a sudden there's going to be love and delight. Somebody shout fulfillment, fulfillment. I feel this in my spirit. So God began to create with his word. God, in the beginning, God created. A lot of times I like to pause there, Pastor, and break this down so people understand that they need to really dig deep here, because it says in the beginning, God, point blank, period. Nobody else around but God. No outside help but God. Just the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. The name Elohim, which is God there in the Hebrew, is plural. God the Son, God the Father, God the Spirit. In the beginning, God. God all by himself. God creating on the canvas of nothing. God standing in the vacuum of no existence, bringing to pass all existence. God standing where nothing's created and created everything that is created. God standing where nothing exists and pulling everything that does exist out of himself. You have to understand, if God could stand on the canvas of nothing and create everything that you see, then God can step into your nothing when you don't think you have what you need and create everything he promised you would see. Because God doesn't need the help of an outside agency. God can pull everything you need out of his own spirit. Amen. God is God all by himself. So if you are in a season, and I've been there myself, where all you have is God, then you have more than enough. Because your God is more than enough. Somebody say he's more than enough. If I've got God, I've got everything that I need to get anything that I require. Because God is more than enough. I'm convinced that Christians know more about church than they do about God. Not Christians in this church, of course, but people outside you meet other places know more about church than they do about God. Because when you really meet God, you change. When you really meet God, you're different. When you really meet God, you talk different and walk different and act different and sound different. And they said, had they been with Jesus? No, I ain't been with Jesus. We can tell you've been with Jesus. When you meet God, something in you changes radically, completely, and totally. This is what the angels mean when they walk around the throne and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You have to understand they are not static, stuck, stale beings. They are moving in the glory of God. The cherubim and the seraphim and the 24 elders are always beholding the majesty of the Almighty. And it's like every time they see a different revelation of God, all they can say is, holy, 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 holy. And I thought I knew everything about you, but then you showed up different. Holy, holy, holy. I thought I could describe you in English vernacular, but then you showed up like that. Holy, holy, holy. Because the word holy means other. The word holy means different. The word holy means no one else like you. It means different, 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 different. You're different than him and different than her and different than that. And they lied on me, but you won't. And they cheated on me, but you won't. And they left me, but you won't. Somebody say holy, holy. When you know God, God always exceeds the last version he revealed. God shows up and says, I'm more than you ever imagined I could be. Watch this. I feel this in my spirit. I couldn't sleep last night. I've been up all night praying because God said, I'm going to show you a side of me you thought was done in the Bible. But I'm about to reveal to the Church of Covington a measure of my glory you thought would never happen again. You're going to see measures of me you didn't even know were possible. God said, I'm going to turn theory into testimony. You ought to be praising right there. Somebody told you about it and you mentally ascended to it, but you've never seen it before. God said, get ready to testify, church. You're going to see me like you've never seen me. Can you help me out? High five somebody and say, it's fulfillment season. Come on, tell them it's fulfillment season. God standing there creating everything from nothing, and God began to create because God is creator. And don't you let science tell you otherwise. And don't you let idiots tell you otherwise. God is creator of heaven and on earth. Can I say idiots on the mic, Pastor? Amen. I repent if I can't praise God. The Bible calls them fools. I'll use that word. Don't let people tell you stuff about God that you know don't make no kind of sense. Amen. God is creator. And God created, and he created in the beginning, and he created the beginning. He created the entire beginning. He created the idea of beginning. He created the concept of beginning. He shows up and says, behold, I will do a new thing. I will generate a brand new beginning. What God did there, God can do here. If God gave us a beginning back then, he can give you a beginning right now. God can create a new beginning in an instant in the presence of God. God can make your marriage begin again, your body begin again. The miracle of the Naaman, the leprous Naaman, is that when he came out of the water from the seventh dip, is not just that leprosy was gone, but the Bible says that his skin was like a newborn baby. Somebody shout new beginnings. Come on. When you are born again, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Somebody shout, I'm new, I'm new. May God bring new in every area of our lives. So he created the beginning. God created in the beginning. God created the beginning because all beginnings demand creativity. All beginnings demand creativity. God not only created it, God created you. And if God created you, he created you like him. And if God created you like him, it's no wonder you can't find you in them. I can't find me in you when I wasn't made from you. I was made from him. So I got to stop coming to you to find me because I can't find me in you. I got to find me in him. That's why we're depressed and suicidal and frustrated and comparing and on medication and on pills, because I'm coming to a man to find who I am as a woman, or coming to a woman to find out who I am as a man, when I need to go to God to find out who I am in God. Because if you let people define you, they'll do it, and they'll do it badly. And before you know it, you got 10 personalities except the one God gave you. But today I break every abuse and every mental misuse that enemies and people and perverted agencies have put over your mind and your spirit, and say, God's going to introduce you to you. Hallelujah. Somebody give God 10 seconds of praise right there. My children will know God and who they are in God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Sorry, guys. High five somebody and say, I'm about to find me. Amen. You think this version of me is powerful? Wait till you see the next version of me. I've been in God. Elijah says, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand. When you get in God, you start saying all kind of stuff. I shall live and not die and declare the word. How did you get that confidence? I found me in God. You know, that's Adam's actual problem. When the Bible says, Adam, where art thou? God is not asking where Adam is because he can't find him. God is asking where Adam is because he's not where he belongs. He says, I showed up where you used to be, but I can tell something happened because you ain't here no more. He's not looking for Adam. He's looking in himself and say, Adam, where'd you go? You belong in presence and you got in problem. You belong in presence and you got in predicament. You belong in presence and you let the enemy talk you out of where you belong. But the devil is a liar and a loser. I'm declaring I'm right where I belong, in the presence of my God. See, because you understand, when God wanted fish, he spoke to water. When God wanted birds, he spoke to air. When God wanted trees, he spoke to soil. When God wanted you, he spoke to self. Because God couldn't get you from trees, or get you from monkeys, or get you from lions, or get you from animals. He couldn't get you from fruits. He had to get you from him. So when God made you, he said, let us make man in our likeness and our image. So God says, I'm a mirror for you. See, you know why Moses had to put a veil over his face? Because when he came out of the glory of God, it's not that they couldn't handle Moses, it's that they couldn't handle the Moses that just met God. And see, the challenge is, you go to your coworkers and they can't handle the Christ in you and the you in Christ, so you hide it from everybody. Because when they can't handle it, you hide it. But God sent me to say, you got to stop hiding who you are in me. Covington demands representation of the holy kingdom of all kingdoms. Hallelujah. Somebody who's been hiding your true value, because you, every time you showed it, I'm in the prophetic now, every time you showed it when you were younger, they criticized you and said, you're doing too much, you're behaving too crazy, it don't take all that. The devil is a liar and loser. I'm gonna say that for the second time. It does. God said they trained you to hide you, but today I'm delivering you, and he whom the Son sets free is free. Somebody needs to praise right here. I feel the Holy Ghost tearing and unraveling all kinds of lies you've hid yourself by. Somebody say, come on. Somebody say, the devil's a liar. Can I preach this thing this morning? I got 21 minutes and 40 seconds. Now, God created it, and God said it demands a beginning, because if beginnings demand creativity, Then to get to where God is beginning in my life now, in this season of my life, I need to get creative. If God created, and God created me, he created me to be creative. And if God created the beginning, then the beginnings demand creativity. So I can't expect something new doing what I've always done. So I gotta get creative. So what the enemy is trying to do is blind your creativity and make you think the lack of creativity is the belief that this will be the same way that has been. So no matter what I do, it ain't gonna change, so why be creative? Just stay the same. But I said it twice, I might as well say it the third time. The devil's a liar and a loser, amen. God said it's time to get creative. It's time for the church to get creative. It's time for you to get creative. God said, activate your creativity and let me reveal who I am through you and in you. Somebody say, it's time to get creative. We got to get back to evangelism. I think we're going to see creative miracles. That means what wasn't there suddenly shows up. Stuff the structure didn't have in it is going to all of a sudden appear to remind creation God's creative. And God has got a way, listen to me, church, in his mind to do what we want done in a way we didn't expect it. It sounds great, but it lives hard because the challenge of it is when what God has for me shows up in a package I didn't expect, I usually don't honor it. Because we like to see stuff done the way we like to see stuff done. And if God puts a miracle in the life of a tattooed up person, I might just get so caught up in the tats, I don't realize he got miracles in his spirit. And I'm telling you, God is going to bring a whole nother generation in this house. And it's not just so they can sit in the seats. It's so that they can praise in a way that brings creative miracles all over this place. And if I hurt them, I hinder him. Somebody shout, it's my fulfillment season. So all this stuff, God is God's creative. You can be seated, but don't be settled. Please keep your spirit open. God is saying, I'm creating, I'm manifesting, I'm bringing. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, hovering over waters because waters are reflective, wondering if earth will ever show him who he is. And so then God then gets our spirit born again, gets rid of the pollution and the dilution so that when God looks at us, he sees him again. And so he puts you in a person called Jesus. And now in Christ, there is no more Jew and no more Gentile, no more bound and no more free, no more black and no more white. There is one and it is Jesus. And so if Jesus is forgiven, Dwayne's forgiven. If Jesus is healthy, Dwayne is healthy. If Jesus is rich, Dwayne is rich. Because if I'm in Christ, I get everything that Christ has. So the enemy condemns you because he pulls you out of him. And when you get out of him, the Holy Spirit hovers over creation and doesn't see him in you anymore. So you got to get back in Christ. See, this is the entire battle of the mind. Battle of the mind is to set my mind on things above where Christ sits so I remember who I am in God. And then I don't judge my life by the scarcity in my life. I judge my life by the riches and the glory that I'm in my life. On earth as it is in heaven. Somebody shout, on earth as it is in heaven. So it can be on earth and in heaven at the same time. I'm on the stage and I'm in a garment. Praise God for that, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm on the stage and I'm in shoes. So I can be on this and in that. So I can be on earth seated in heavenly places. I can be on the job, but in my right mind, my God. He will keep them in perfect peace who keep their mind stayed on him. You see, you are not where you are. You are where you are. Are you with me this morning? Can I preach for a few more minutes? He says earth was without. He didn't say heaven was without. Notice he didn't say in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth and your heaven was without. He said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without. Because heaven is never without. When Satan deceived the third of the angels, heaven saw no scarcity. When a rebellious spirit was operating in rebellion in the glory realm, they couldn't even tell. He's a robber, a thief, and a stealer and couldn't take nothing from the glory realm. My God, I'm about to help somebody. Because whatever earth needs, heaven already has. So then if I'm in heavenly places, I got to learn to stop judging my ability by my bank and start judging my ability by riches in glory. Are you with me this morning? My bank can't get cancer out of your body, but my faith can get tumors to dry up in my hands. Because it ain't me, it's the glory I'm moving. Oh my God, I'm prophesying there is a church around America that's gonna stop operating in the kingdoms of this world and start demonstrating the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forevermore. Watch this, when the world tells you it can't happen, it's God saying, trust me, it's about to happen. Somebody shout amen. I got 10 minutes here. So you got heaven is, earth is without. So God stepped in. And when God stepped in, earth is not without anything anymore. So the enemy comes to the earth and tries to make it without, tries to make it lack, tries to make it scarce, tries to deplete it, tries to take it down. But God steps in. And when the Spirit of God steps in, he takes that which earth was without and gives it to him in abundant supply. Because when God shows up, he'll make sure you're not without joy and not without peace and not without hope and not without expectation and not without supply, because God will deal with what you run out of. When he steps in, he wants you to have faith. So we get to a woman, two women named Mary and Elizabeth and Mary, and they have stepped into what I call their season of fulfillment. This is a dichotomy, a parallel, an incredible picture, because you got one woman who's never been married, and you got another woman who's been married a long time. You got one woman who never knew a man. You got another woman who's known the same man faithfully forever. You've got one girl, Mary, who gets it quickly. You got one woman, Elizabeth, who gets it later. You got one woman, Mary, who gets success at the beginning of her life. Another woman, Elizabeth, who gets success later in her life. You get one woman who hasn't had to wait for anything. She, as soon as she's of age, the Holy Spirit shows up and she has a baby. And you got another woman who's had to wait for everything. And she's seen everybody else have a baby and everybody else have success and everybody else's church take off and everybody else get a following and everybody. And it seems like God called them first, but they live last because they've waited for everybody else to get everything else, and they feel forgotten, overlooked, like God doesn't have his mind on them anymore. But in this scripture, it's powerful in this passage, because God says, not only do I bless those who excel fast, I remember those who feel forgotten, and I'm about to accelerate them beyond what they thought they lost all the way up. I'm about to help somebody up in here, all the way up to this moment, because Elizabeth lived justly, righteously, blamelessly, the Bible says. That means, in our terminology, it means that she lived right for a long time. Her and her husband did everything right. They sowed, they believed, they trusted, they lived by faith, they walked in obedience. And you can't judge her inability to birth according to your mind to think she's unfaithful to God. Because human beings have a tendency to say, if you can't do it, something is wrong with you, or you're doing something wrong. This is why Job got tired of so-called friends, because every time they would talk, he would hear the subtle jab of their criticism and the subtle jab of their disbelief. And they would act like they were friends, but they would really be poking and prodding and taking advantage of his misery. And I don't need people around me who find cute ways to punch me. I need people around me that no matter where I am, stand up for me. I need four friends who find me paralyzed and refuse to say he's not getting his miracle. They'll pick up my bed, tear open a roof, and drop me in a revival to get me my breakthrough. I need four people who refuse to believe the report of the devil, who refuse to believe I'll stay addicted and I'll stay broke and I'll stay divorced and I'll never get remarried. And I just need four. There's 8 billion people on the planet. Just give me four friends who believe God. Just four. All you need is one faith partner, so that when you can't believe, they believe. When you can't hope, they hope. When you lost expectation, they call you and raise your expectation. I'm telling somebody who feels lonely, God's gonna send you a faith partner. Somebody shout amen right there. This woman, Elizabeth, married, faithful, doing everything right. And I don't know if you've been there before, but I have, and I know people who have, and I think somebody has, because God sent me here to say this to you, is that you've done everything right. You followed the blueprint. You followed the roadmap. You went to the conferences. You go to the work. You do everything. You show up on time. You've been doing that for not days and not weeks and not months, but you've been doing that for years and years and years, and still something God said you'd have, you have not seen, and you feel like you've wasted your life. You have no time left. You're out of your prime. You're never going to get what God said. But Elizabeth, God sent me here like Gabriel to say, you have just entered your season of fulfillment. What you have waited for and cried for and bled for and almost quit over and stopped serving God for a season because you were disappointed that he didn't do it. God said, I'm about to show up and awaken dusty promises and show you in this hour that I have not forgotten you. I'm showing up on your behalf. Oh my God, if there's anybody in here who needs a God like that, take a few minutes and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Mary gets it fast. Mary gets it early. Elizabeth gets it late. It takes her a long time. You got an older one talking to a younger one and a younger one talking to an older one. And you got one who's got experience and you got one who has inexperience. One with a resume and one with no resume. One who excels beyond her experience. And the challenge with getting that kind of blessing so early in life is you end up spending the youth of your life trying to keep up with what God is doing in your life because you don't really have the experience to navigate it. No strategy, no plan, no roadmap, no blueprint. You just grabbed the mic, started preaching, and you had 10 campuses in 3 weeks. So you're running to keep up with what God has blessed you with, and it's favor. Hallelujah. The other end of it is you got the Elizabeths, and you might look at their life and not think God's with them, but they are being incubated in the invisible to carry authority for another generation. God hasn't forgotten them. God has put weight on the inside of them because there's something that a younger generation is about to birth that the older generation has to mother and father and work with. So no, God hasn't forsaken you. God hasn't forgotten you. God has been forming you to be a father to a fatherless generation that hasn't even been born yet. And God says the reason why you had to wait and the reason why you had to fret and fight and claw for every little thing you got, Elizabeth, is because Mary's going to knock on the door and say, I got this baby from the Holy Ghost. What do I do? And you got years with God and tears with God and blood with God and sweat with God. And when you speak, the Holy Ghost shows up because you got angels backing what you say. And they got a following and they got a trend and they got an Instagram account that has a big blow up, but you got power and they need somebody to mature them into the Christ they're about to birth. And I'm trying to tell Covington that you might feel hidden, but you've just been held because God is releasing you to father a generation you didn't even know was about to show up. And you give it a matter of months, and these sheets will be filled with young people hungry, and you'll say, now I know why God hid me in the womb and hid me underneath the surface so I could break through the ground now and shape them in things of the Spirit. You got to understand this. As soon as Jesus is born, there is a decree to kill every firstborn. You got to get this. There is a devil on the loose who is trying to pervert the minds of this generation. And he's after them with promiscuity. And he's after them with all kinds of things to warp their brain. And we're going to need somebody who didn't compromise, even though they didn't see it for decades, to say, when I speak, demons back up. So God said, what you thought was a disability is about to be your advantage. Because you're stepping into a fulfillment season. This woman got a fast. This woman got a slow. Let me work this for 5 minutes here. Got to help somebody. This woman got a fast. This woman got a slow. This woman got a quick. This woman had to wait a little while. But at the same time, they both entered their season of fulfillment. God has a way of blessing both generations at the same time. And this is going to be a generational move of God. And this ain't gonna be back in my day we used to see this. Well, now in my day we got all this. It's gonna be God doing it in multiple generations at the same exact time. So there are people who've been waiting forever, and this man, this Gabriel shows up, and Gabriel goes, Zacharias, I stand in the presence of God. I'm about to give you what you never thought you would have, what you gave up on. Elizabeth shall bear. He says, how in the world is this going to happen? How will I know this thing? And obviously his mouth goes mute because, you know, if you can't speak by faith, just stop talking. Because in this season, we don't need the complaining you. We need the believing you.
Can I help somebody this morning? I just got a few more minutes. My name's Dwayne Johnson. I'm your friend. Listen, he says, this season, I don't need the doubting you. This season, I don't need the complaining you. This season, I don't need the, well, what about that you? This season, when the vision comes, I don't need you to say, well, we got this and that and that, and what about this, and we tried that and this. No, 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 I need the believing you. But see, the challenge is the enemy will put the believing you so far in you, you don't know where he is no more. So he says, I need you to be quiet and watch God do what God said he's about to do, because you've entered fulfillment. This is the thing about Zechariah I got to share with you, is that Zechariah's name actually means Yahweh remembers. Elizabeth's name actually means God made me a promise. So every time she showed up and they say, why don't you have a baby? I don't know. God made me a promise. She would introduce herself by her promise, not her present. You show up and say, well, what's going on? You're getting past age, Elizabeth. Yeah, but God made me a promise. You haven't seen the healing, Elizabeth. Yeah, but God made me a promise. You haven't seen the breakthrough, Elizabeth. Yeah, but God made me a promise. She's well advanced in years. The angel called her old, praise God. But well advanced in years. But she would introduce herself as, God made me a promise. Elohim made me a promise. Elohim made me a promise. And it got to a point where she's not just reminding people that Elohim made her a promise. She's reminding herself, Elohim made her a promise. Somebody needs to remember, God made you a promise. God will not forsake his promises. Zechariah's name means Yahweh remembers. So Zechariah, why haven't you had this breakthrough? I don't know. Yahweh remembers me. Why haven't you seen this? Yahweh remembers me. Why haven't you experienced it yet? Yahweh remembers me. This is what God is saying to Zechariah. He's saying, you've entered a fulfillment season where you're going to see, I've got my mind on you. Somebody say, he remembers me. Come on. On the cross, Jesus wasn't the only one crucified. There were three men crucified. And one man said, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. Jesus says, I'm showing up to remind you, I'm remembering you. I remember the promise I made. I remember the healing I said. I remember the word I gave you. I remember the prophecy I released to you. God says, I remember, now you remember. I remember seeds you forgot you sowed. You're about to see Yahweh remembers. Somebody shout, remember me, God. Joseph in prison said, butler, when you get back to Pharaoh, do me one favor, remember me. And sometimes all you need is somebody's memory to remember that you were favorable, to remember that you were kind, to remember that you were faithful. I love this because the number 26, and we're in the year of 2026, the number 26 in the Hebrew actually means Yahweh. Number 26, when you study that in the Hebrew, actually means Yahweh. Means that in this season of fulfillment you just entered, that this year is not the devil's year. It's not your past year. It's not the year of your pain, the year of your problem, the year of your complaint, the year of your issue. It's not a same old year, just another year, oh, another year. No, no, it's Yahweh's year. This the year Yahweh remembers, the year Yahweh heals, the year Jesus shows up, the year, I'm not talking about to take his church back, I'm talking about to heal people, to manifest his presence. Somebody shout, it's God's year. Come on, jump to your feet and say, it's God's year, devil. It's God's year. I'm announcing it's God's year over my family. It's God's year over my economy. It's God's year over my church. God is going to do what God says he wants done. This is God's year. I need you to tell somebody, get ready for fulfillment. Come on, tell three people, get ready for fulfillment. God is going to fulfill his promise in your life. God is going to fulfill his word in your life. Somebody just say, Lord, thank you that you remember me. Thank you that you're mindful of me. Thank you that you have your mind on me. The challenge is, many times we build theology by painful experiences. And we start to believe that God can't do it because our eyes haven't seen it done yet. But all the way from California with few hours of sleep in 3 days I've been here, God keeps telling me to tell you, I'm remembering you.
you have entered a fulfillment season. In the spirit, there's an open door. And the Lord says, you can't see it, you can't touch it, but you can believe me for it. The Spirit of God says, you've just walked into fulfillment. And what we're believing God for is contracts that have not yet been fulfilled. You're suddenly going to find a vendor, a partner, someone on the other end of it to fulfill it. Words he gave you about your health, suddenly it's going to show up. You're going to say, what? It's gone. Why? He remembered me. He remembered me. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You remembered me.